Okay, we're in the book of Romans, and we're going to talk about judging today, all you judging Christians. And it's actually judging in gray areas. There are areas that are gray that we have no business judging other people in, but we do. You don't do this the way I do. You don't do that the way I do. And we make judgments and causes consternation, causes offense. We're going to learn about that today. We're in Romans chapter 14, 1 through 13. Please stand as we read the word together. Now, when I'm reading this, it's going to be difficult to really understand everything that I'm saying in this text. He says things kind of in a jumbled way, but it's all about not judging in gray areas. He has three or four things that he will focus on, the Apostle Paul, and he's going to be telling us not to be judgers in the gray areas. And actually, he wants unity within the body. The Holy Spirit, folks, wants us unified as one, not making critical judgments on people and causing disunity. So picking it up in chapter 14, verse 1. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each one be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord. For he gives God thanks, and he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge one another? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall be given account of himself to God. Therefore let us not judge one another any more, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. This is the word of God. Our Father, we give you thanks for this time that you've allowed us to spend in your word, the inerrant, infallible word of the living God given to his people to show us about our God and how to live out our life for our God while we're here. Thank you for this time together. Holy Spirit, speak to each one of us today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. The theme of Romans is the just or the righteous shall live by faith alone in Christ alone. It is broken down into six sections, which you'll say with me for the 100th time. Okay, sin, salvation, sanctification, sovereignty, service, and so long. And we're in that area called service. How are those who are being transformed by the renewing of their mind to serve our God in this culture? How are those who are not being conformed any longer to the patterns of this world? How are those who are not being squeezed in this world's mold? How are we to live out our faith in this culture? That's what we're learning in this service section. How we are to live out our faith for real. We want to be real Christians, not pretend Christians. We want to live for our Lord every place that we go, every place our feet touch. We are here to serve our King. Where we have been, last time I spoke, Paul talked about an urgent warning to put off the things of darkness, to put on the armor of light, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. You set up boundaries in your life, places you don't go, things you don't see. You guard your heart, you guard your eyes, you guard your mind. You're to put off the things of this world and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we talked about how to actually do this. And to do this, we had to cultivate intimacy with the Almighty. And talked about four things that we learned from Chuck Swindoll that I shared with you. And actually, Chuck Swindoll and umpteen other writers have written on this, but it's broken down into four things that I mentioned last time. And the first one was silence. You must silence your spirit before God. God doesn't come screaming at you. How did he come in the Old Testament? He came with a still, small voice. So you have to get alone with God, be still before God to hear his voice. I want to hear what the shepherd has to say to me. And then solitude, and that silence, you have to get alone with God. Remember, Jesus did this frequently. He got alone with his Father. He got alone with his Heavenly Father. He needed strength from his Father. Folks, we do too. We need to be alone with our Father to get strength from him. And then simplicity. Learn to be content with what you have. You don't have to live to the nth degree. If you're stretching and straining for the stuff of this world, folks, you're not in silence before God. You're not in solitude before God. If you're striving for the things of this world, it's okay to have stuff, but don't let the stuff have you. And then the last one was surrender. Surrender my rights to myself, my will, my way, the way I want to do things in this world, to God's will and to God's way. And then we talked about the peace of God, the shalom of God. It's not simply tranquility, but we have a slide here that just shows you the breadth of shalom. It isn't just this feeling of peace. It goes far beyond this. This writer breaks it down into contentment, well-being, completeness. I'm complete in my God. Welfare, I'm taken care of. Wholeness. We become whole when we have shalom with our God. We're connected to him in concert with everything that he does. Being well, favor, friend, great, good health, perfect, safe, happy, friendly, welfare, health, prosperity. What a list. Peace, rest, and safety. The shalom of God is available to every single believer who will cultivate intimacy with the Almighty. It doesn't come automatically. It isn't just, okay, I'm going to get the shalom of God. No, you must spend time with your God. You must spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ. You must get off alone with him, spend time in his word to have shalom. Now, as we get into this not judging thing, it's important to realize how easy it is for us to judge in gray areas. Things that aren't explicit in Scripture, but yet we're emphasizing them, and not just emphasizing them in our own life, but enforcing those on other people. Be very careful with this. Legalism is always just waiting at the door. Legalism, what is it? Inflicting my values, going beyond what Scripture says, onto somebody else. And also, legalism raises its ugly head. It usually comes in an unloving, critical manner. You're not doing what I think you should do. And people set up all kinds of rules and regs. Now, look, you can set up rules and regulations for your life. You can have your own boundaries in the gray areas of life. But legislating them on other people is wrong. And he's going to tell us over and over it's wrong. Now, most people have been in church for a long time. Now, you've been in churches and you know the don'ts. The don'ts. You come to church, it comes with a list of don'ts. And if they aren't spoken overtly, they're at least implied. How about this one? Don't drink socially. That's a gray area, folks. That's not my job to legislate on you whether you drink socially or not. That's between you and God. Scripture does not prohibit alcohol, just drunkenness. Don't go to movies. You've heard that one. Don't play cards. Don't dance. It gets really kind of strict. Don't listen to secular music. And by all means, if you were raised in my era in the 70s, don't have long hippie hair. That's bad for you. And how about women? Don't wear anything but dresses. Now, we had a church softball team, and they were trying to legislate on us for the women not to wear anything but dresses. And the women rebelled, and we said, yes, way to rebel, ladies. How about this one? Don't ever get a tattoo. Don't ever get a piercing. No pierced ears, young ladies. Don't ever do that. Don't ever go to a restaurant that serves alcohol. And you can just add to your own list. These are just things that I thought of. Improper judging. But I want you to think about this in the context of improper judging. We have a responsibility to represent our Lord to the culture around us. We've mentioned over and over that we are ambassadors of Christ. So where I go, what I say, how I act impacts the culture. And they must see more of Christ in me than me in me. So there has to be guards set up. So I watch in my gray areas what I'm allowing into my mind, what movies I'm watching. I do this. What songs I'm listening to. Hey, I thought it was safe to listen to the 60s and the 70s. And I said, oh man, the Eagles are great. And then I started hearing raven hair, ruby lips, sparks fly from her fingertips. And I'm going, what is that about, witchy woman? And I'm liking this song. You know, I'm sorry, I got to cut them out. Now, nobody told me to cut that, but I'm thinking, this isn't, I'm kind of feeling like I'm not supposed to listen to this. And then Creedence Clearwater Revival came, and I'm going, oh, I haven't kind of gotten to them yet, but it's this thing that happens to you, like, oh, Lord, I think you're talking to me about this. So you can set up your own boundaries, but remember, guard what you're allowing into your mind, because what you allow into your mind will affect your character, and that is exceedingly important. Remember, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. You are the temple of the Spirit of the living God. He dwells within you, and he will lead you into all truth. Listen to what it says in John 16:13. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, this is Jesus speaking, talking about promise of the Holy Spirit, he will guide you, show you the way into all truth. You know what is right, folks. In gray areas, you know what is right. You know what is wrong for you. So listen to the Spirit of God as he speaks to you. He will. You will hear his voice. You will hear it. Go or don't go. Do or don't do. Starting in verse 1 and 2, careful with inappropriate judging. Receive the one that's weak. Now, in this weak and strong thing, here you got a guy that's eating vegetables because he's all ticked off at the guy eating meat, that he's afraid that the meat was sacrificed to idols. And later on in our teachings, we're going to learn that idols don't mean anything. The meat that's sacrificed to idols is not bad. But the weaker brother here has got an issue with your meat eating. And so that's the context of what we're talking about here now. Receive one who is weak in the faith. Receive, that means be hospitable, be open to that person. Be considerate of that person. The one who is weak in the faith. It's all about unity, folks, in the body. But not to disputes about doubtful things, gray areas. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who eats meat, who is weak, eats only vegetables. Now, you know, eat your vegetables. You were told this since you were a kid. Eat your vegetables, finish your plate. I don't know about you, but we got our vegetables. I didn't like them. And my mom made us eat the vegetables. So what we did with our little trick is we spread it out on the plate to make it look like it wasn't all condensed. Eat your vegetables. And that somehow tricked my mom. And I said, oh, that's a good, we didn't have to eat them all. But anyway, the vegetable person. We are to receive the weak one, be hospitable to the weak one. Folks, every church has its gamut of strong and weak. But that gamut in strong and weak is fluctuating. I might be strong in one area and weak in another area, and you may be strong in my weak area and weak in another area. So this thing is flexing. It isn't just the mature people. No, we're all in this flex situation. Truth be known, in some way, we all act immature. At some time or another, we act immature like little babies, depends on the situation you're placed in. We're all guilty of this. But the significant thing here is Christian unity. That's what he's trying to continue, embrace here. Christian unity, not to be separated by these things that are the gray areas. The gray areas. They're not sin issues, but they're gray issues. Now, who's the weak one? That's the vegetable eater. He's all bound up in his rules and regs. You should eat vegetables. So he's the weak one. And the meat eater, he's got a responsibility not to be offensive to the weaker brother that likes to eat the meat. The question is this. Is it okay for the strong believer to flaunt his freedom? I don't care if you like meat or not. I'm just going to eat my big old juicy In-N-Out burger right before you. Or my Whopper or my quarter pounder with cheese. I'm just going, right? No, we don't want to be offensive because of the weaker brother. So you don't flaunt your freedom. The vegetable eater, now listen to this. The vegetable eater believes the meat eater is compromised. The meat eater believes the vegetable eater is weak. Both of them are doing improper judging. Both of them are judging one another. Both strong and weak are making improper judgments. Now watch what this results in: the offended brother or sister. One who takes offense. With offense, what happens? Withdrawal. Withdrawal. I can't be with that person anymore. I can't be in that group anymore. I'm going to withdraw from this situation, withdraw from fellowship. When this occurs, when the body becomes disunited over gray areas, who do you think won? Satan wins. You've just taken the bait of Satan when you've lobbed onto that offense thing. Listen to this. All of us, if you've been in, well, you've been in humanity, but if you've been in the church for sure, you have been offended at some point by something I've said or something. You can be offended at any number of things. You've been offended. And you can say, I'm hurt, I'm done with this thing. But I want you to think about something. Think about the one who had more offense than anybody else, that took more criticism than anybody else, and that was the Lord Jesus. He was constantly offended, constantly degraded, constantly belittled. And you know what he said? He said, this I say to you. This I say to you. Pray for your enemies. Pray for your enemies. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That's what he did. That was his response. That's not how we typically respond, but that's the model that we are to follow. Pray for those who offend us. And by the way, I think it's time for men and women of God to be men and women of steel, to have a steel exterior, not to be so easily hurt, so easily offended, so easily pushed off to the side. When you fall in this thing of offense, you just received a message from the master deceiver to abandon ship, deceived by the master deceiver. Division and disunity are his goal. Offense, he's always waiting there for offense. This happens in churches, folks, for sure, but it happens in families. It happens with husbands and wives. It happens with parents and children. It happens with friends. It happens all over the place. But you know where it really happens? It happens in the fall when Michigan plays Ohio State. Now, there's all kinds of offense that happens there. I'm just saying the truth. I mean, we're all told emphatically when we feel offended how we deal with these issues, not to dispute over doubtful things. I would say, let it go. Let it go. There was a Marine. His name was Cleve McCleary. He was all blown up. And they asked, how did you make it through this recovery? And he said, I had to Fido. I had to forget it and drive on. I put my trust in God, forget it and drive on. And I would say to everyone that is offended, let it go. Have a little backbone. Forget it and drive on. Don't get caught in the offense trap. Strong believer, weak believer, have a little grace for one another. Have a little grace for one another. We're not perfect here. We're all in this struggle, okay? What is grace? Well, that's the favor of God, unmerited favor of God, the joy, favor of God. But you know, when you look into Zadiati's Greek text, it adds a little tag onto that. Without expectation of return. I'm not just giving grace to somebody, expecting them to give it back to me. I'm giving it because God wants me to give it. Grace without expectation of return. Be a grace giver. Remember, how much grace have you received from God? Like oceans, wave after wave, grace after grace, mercy after mercy. We have received much, folks. We're to be like the master. We are to give like the master has given to us, grace. Now again, there are commands in Scripture. There are precepts in Scripture that are not confusing. They are not gray. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the gray areas we don't condemn. In verse 3 to 4, he's going to go more in this inappropriate judging another servant, but it's the same concept all the way through this. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, still on this vegetable meat eater thing. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Both are in the family of God. And in the family, you want to stay united, not divided. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master, he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. Again, precautions for both going forward. The strong, the weak. The strong, the weak. Caution for the strong believer. Watch this word. Don't despise the weaker one. Don't despise the weaker brother. That word despise is interesting. It means have contempt for. You're looking down on this person. It's a I'm better than you attitude. The stronger guy thinks I'm better than a weak guy. And by the way, this is written for you Greek geeks as a present imperative. Present tense. This is something we are to do all the time. Not a one and done. This is to be a pattern of our life. And it's an imperative. It's a command that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. We are to do this all the time. Don't despise the weaker brother. Conversely, a caution to the weaker brother, another present imperative command. Don't judge the stronger brother's actions. Now, again, this is touchy because sometimes I'm the stronger brother and sometimes I'm the weaker brother. It just depends on the situation. Weak and strong attitudes permeate Christianity. Denominations split because of some of these gray areas that people actually focus on. Now, think about some things that people split over. The rapture. Now, we're big on prophecy here. And I believe in a pre-trib rapture. I think that's what the scripture teaches. But folks, there's folks that are very bright people that believe in a mid-trib or a post-trib. And sometimes people say, well, that person believes differently than I do. I can't be part of that group. Folks, I don't think we should use those things to separate us. We have so much in common. Don't use these things to separate us. Another thing, how people dress. I think you should come to church in a suit. Well, that's great. You can come in a suit. I think you can come in jeans. That's great. Come in jeans. I think you can come in shorts. That's great. Come in shorts. It's up to you how you come to church. But some people are offended because you're not dressing exactly and precisely like they think you should dress. Now, folks, this is an actual thing that happens. This happens. I'm going to give you another example. How about communion? Well, we take communion every Sunday. Oh, we're strong. We're strong. Every Sunday we keep it. Well, then the guys that do it twice a month go, oh, no, we're stronger than you because it's more special to us. And then you got the guys that are once a year. Oh, we're stronger than all of you because we have it really special. It's once a year. And on it goes. How about baptism? Well, we baptize in a river. That's how our church, our denomination liked rivers because that's what they did in the Bible. It was a river. How about a lake? Because there was, lakes in Israel. We baptize in a tub, but then you have the folks that only want to be baptized in the Jordan River. I'm waiting for my trip to Israel. It's on my bucket list. I'm going to put off what Jesus has commanded me to do until I get to the Jordan River. And when you get to Israel and you go to the Jordan River and you see those masses of people and all the dead skin floating to the top of that river, then you're going, what in the world did I do here? Yeah, Jordan River. How about hymns? I like the hymns. Well, I like the hymns. I like choruses. Well, I can't be with the hymn singers. I can't be with the chorus singers. We got to split up. Gray areas, folks. Gray areas. Think about the Christian to Christian. You have Netflix, you weak thing. You watch Amazon Prime. You watch Disney. You should have banned Disney years ago. They've gone off the deep end. I watch PureFlix. I'm a Hallmark person all the way. I'm strong. Yes, I am. Yes. My way is the right way. I can't have fellowship with you any longer because you watch this stuff. Folks, it's silly. Stay united. The gray areas is between you and God. You and God. With that stated, again, guard your heart. Everything on Netflix, I'm going to make a judgment about a gray area. As a matter of fact, this isn't so gray because some of that stuff is pretty clear. You shouldn't be watching it as a Christian. And I'm telling you, it's very important to guard what you allow into your minds. It affects what you think is right and wrong. Look at the mind. Joseph Goebbels was very smart. He knew that if he kept saying something over and over, Nazi Germany, World War II, the Nazi propaganda czar, and he say something over and over, supported by the government, supported by the media, supported by education, and people's thinking changes. And you don't think corporations know that today? And what they're feeding you on all these programs? Oh, be careful what you allow through your eye gate and your ear gate. It goes right into your soul, folks. Make a distinction. Again, it's between you and God. And then it's significant here what he says. Who are you to judge another's servant? It's not up to me to judge in the gray areas. Key point, folks. The strong one is the servant. The weak one is the servant. Both are subject to their Lord, not to me, to your Lord. That's what you're subject to. It is God who judges his servant properly, not a fellow servant judging a fellow servant in the gray areas. Sin areas, we have a responsibility. Things that people are doing that are not congruent with the Word of God, we must speak the truth into that. But these gray areas, hold your peace, hold your peace. It's not in my purview to judge another servant in gray areas. That's God's job. Careful with inappropriate judging. Is he getting his message across? I mean, Paul, you get to hear another one. Here we go, 5-9, controversial areas. One person esteems, makes a judgment, Carino is the word, one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his, where? Own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord. He's back on that eating thing again. For he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives thanks to the Lord. For none of us lives to himself. And no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, to this end, we are the Lord's. To this end, this is the focus. To this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Nothing new about debating about days of worship in Christendom. One person esteems one day above another. Kareno is that word esteem, judging, making a distinction, passing a sentence, really. Now, there's the battle is always between the Saturday Sabbath worshipers, because they're worshiping on the real Sabbath, and the Sunday worshipers that are worshiping on Sunday because of resurrection. Now, the Saturday people look at us as being wrong, and you're even sinning. Many of them, you're sinning. You're doing the wrong thing, and even condemned. The Sunday worshipers view the Saturday worshipers as strange, weird, sometimes even cultish. Folks, the day doesn't matter. Just so you carve out a day that you're worshiping the Lord. That's the important thing. Colossians 2:16 says this, don't judge regard to food, drink, festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. Some people don't eat meat today. Some people do. That's up to you. Some people won't eat shellfish. Some people do. It's up to you. The point is clear. Let each be fully convinced in their own mind. Now, let's bring it home. Let's bring it home to holidays. Oftentimes I'm asked, why do you celebrate Christmas? It's a pagan holiday. Easter, don't even say Easter. It's that goddess Estrus. And that's a pagan holiday. Folks, what are you focusing on Christmas? It's the birth of Messiah. What am I focusing on Easter or Resurrection Sunday? The resurrection of Messiah. I have no interest in the Easter bunny or Easter eggs. I have no interest in whatever false god has been depicted on that day. In your own mind, come to deal with it. And then on Christmas, we have the issue with the Christmas tree. Because in Jeremiah, it talks about the silver and the gold, and they're worshiping this thing. But in Jeremiah 10:8, it's talking about an idol. So when you put your Christmas tree up, are you before that idol? Are you praying before that idol? Oh, blessed pretty Christmas tree, please bring me many gifts today and bring me everything that I want. No, no, it's not. Be convinced in your own mind, folks. And don't force your opinion on other people in the gray areas. That's the point. Now, when you go home today and somebody says, what did he talk about for 45, 50 minutes? He just babbled on forever. Gray areas. Gray areas, no inappropriate judging. At least you're going to get that out of it, okay? The gray areas are between you and God. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Now, I want you to think about this. There are things that are not gray that God speaks to you about doing. I want to take a little journey into the land where God has spoken to people and they said, I don't want to do that. And God is speaking to you. Now, folks, we need a Sunday school teacher. Now, God is speaking to somebody in this body, and I think he'll put it on you, that we need a Sunday school teacher to fill in, to be part of the rotation once every month or 5 weeks, whatever it is, my wife would tell me. But anyway, these are areas that are not gray. How about this? A lot of people don't feel like it. I don't feel like being a Sunday school teacher. I don't feel like going to spiritual gifts class. I don't feel like being part of a home group. Don't let your feelings dominate your life. It has nothing to do with your feelings. It has everything to do with you being obedient to what God is calling you to do. You're here for a purpose. You're here for a purpose. There's a reason that you're taking up space, that you matter. Have weight and occupy space, okay? You matter. It's to serve your king. It's to serve your king. How about Moses? He wanted nothing to do with leading the nation of Israel. God spoke to him at the burning bush. This is mano a mano. This is, you can't miss that God is speaking to you. He's talking to you, Moses. And what does Moses do? I can't go. I can't speak. I can't do this. Send Aaron. Send Aaron. He dumps it on somebody else. We like to dump. Dump it on somebody else. How about Jonah? He was to go to Nineveh, speak to the Ninevites. He was prejudiced, hated them. I don't want to go. So he got thrown in the fish, and then he ended up going. Gideon says, my clan is the weakest. He wanted to defeat the Midianites. Jeremiah, he had an excuse. I'm too young. I can't speak. Exit the excuse club, brothers and sisters. I would encourage you to exit the excuse club and come into the club of saying, what do you want from me, Lord? Where do you want me to serve you? Now, we've mentioned it in our announcements today. Steve did. And by the way, Steve underplayed this thing that happened to him. He fell on a boulder, a slip and fall on a boulder, arm extended, ribs exposed, boom, boom. That was a painful event. I'm thankful that he didn't pierce a lung and crack a rib and pierce a lung. But anyway, wrong foray there. So anyway, what is not a gray area are spiritual gifts. God has given you a spiritual gift. Jen Henry's going to teach that class. I would encourage you to take the class if you don't know what your spiritual gifts are. Learn what they are. Learn to work how God has programmed you specifically to fit in to his body. I would encourage you to do this. He expects you to do this. Look at learning what your spiritual gifts are. This isn't for the super duper Christian only. This is the normal Christian life. It's called growing from a baby into a more mature believer. So, in your personal life, ask yourself this question: what does God want me to do? How is he speaking to me? Where do I work? And by the way, what is my attitude to be at work? And I would suggest, because you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're his representative, that you're a fountain, not a drain, to that organization. Where do I worship? What do I do with my life? Who do I hang out with in my life? What places do I go to? And by the way, I think that God speaks to us regularly on what idols he wants us to give up. Now, you know what things have taken you captive, and that you're making excuses for and continuing to do because you enjoy that idol. That's not you try to make excuses for that thing. And he's talking to you specifically. It's all about serving him, pleasing him, and loving him. If we live to the Lord, he says in verse 8. That's the truth. In my life, if I live this thing out, I live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. We live for him moment by moment, second by second. The time I get up in the morning, I start thinking about your God. Have him with you all the way through your day. When you go to sleep at night, think about your God. He's with you all the time. We die to him moment by moment. Die to my will, my desires, my ways. There's a song that was written in 1896 by Judson Van Deventer. You don't know him. But he wrote this song, I Surrender All. He was a musician, art teacher, and he was called to be an evangelist. And he fought this, just like all the other guys fought it, just like I fought it. When I had this calling to be a pastor, I'm going, no, I can't, I'm not qualified, don't send me, send somebody else. Couldn't get away from it. There was a point where he wrote this song, All to Jesus I Surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. My will, my way, my preferences. I surrender all to you, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. How does that look? How does that look? Luke 9:23. Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he said to them all his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, to follow me, let him deny himself. Let him surrender all of himself and take up his cross. You know what that is? Death to the old self. Death to the old man. I'm taking up my cross, death to me, and follow him, surrendering all to him. Whoever desires to save his life will find it. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever desires to lose his life for my sake will save it. I surrender all. I'm sure I misspoke that whole thing, but anyway, I surrender all. Yeah. I believe we should be less focused on judging others in gray areas, examining ourselves, judging our own gray areas. What does Jesus want for me? I surrender all to you, my King, my Savior, my Lord. Verse 10 and 12, inappropriate judging. We will all stand before Jesus. This is a sobering thought, folks. This isn't make-believe. This isn't because you say, I don't believe that's going to happen, it's not going to happen. You know, God is credible. The Holy Spirit is speaking through his word. He is God. God speaking to you, we will all give an account of ourselves before our God. This is an appointment. An appointment. 10 through 12. I was just checking out the time here. See where I'm... But why do you judge your brother? Still the question. Or why do you show, contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. We will all do this. Every believer, whether you think you're strong or weak, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Yes, believers will be judged, not for your sins. They were judged at the cross. Judged for your works after salvation, what you've done for Christ after salvation. That's what you'll be judged for. How you lived out the Christian life. How you lived out your dash, your entrance date, your born again date, your exit date. Your dash, born again to exit. That's what you're going to be judged for. Sins have been taken care of. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is a serious thing. Rewards or loss of rewards. Romans is mentioned three times in Scripture. Our Scripture today, Romans 14, 10. 1 Corinthians 3, 13 and 14. 2 Corinthians 5, 10. Most people, listen to this. I would say most American Christians have the idea, I've made it. I've made it. I've said the words. I went to camp. I had this thing where I had with God. And I'm okay now. And I'm just going to continue to kind of live the same way that I lived before. That's not the Christian life. That's not real Christianity. Real Christianity creates a change in a person. You go from uncomfortable area, your comfortable old area, to the uncomfortable new area. It is uncomfortable when you start your journey. It all seems weird. I remember when I got saved, I'm going, this is so strange. I don't want to be with all these people. So I came and I sat right in the back. Chris and I sat right in the back. Right in the back. And as soon as the guy was done, the bell rang. I was out as fast as I could. I didn't want to see anybody, get in communication with anybody. But then as I grew, Chris made me move to kind of like the middle row. And then as we grew more, before you know it, we're right up here with Jack and Rachel, right in the front part here. That was her favorite spot to be. We are to grow in our Lord. Every believer is supposed to grow. What are works? What are works? It's a big deal, being obedient to Christ, what he's told you to do. What are works? Things done for Christ, for his honor, for his glory, not for self-glory. Folks, you can steal the glory. You can do something great and make sure everybody knows about it. We're good at that. How you use your spiritual gifts. I think this is a huge part of this whole Bema Seat judgment. That's what you're going to, the Bema Seat, the raised platform judgment. I didn't want to do a talk on the Bema Seat, but that's where you're going to be judged for your works. What are works? Things done for Christ. Spiritual gifts. How you obeyed his word and his precepts. Have you done the will of God as has been revealed to you in Scripture? All the times, listen to this, all the times you denied yourself, took up your cross, and you followed him. I didn't feel like it. The Moses, the Gideons, the group. I never feel like doing anything. I don't feel like coming to church. I'm the pastor. You can't go on your feelings, folks. Don't go on your feelings. You do things because God has directed you and ordered you. Every time I forgave somebody, it's hard to forgive. I've been offended and I forgive. Rewarded. Every time I don't pay back in kind, rewarded. Every time I've graced someone or mercied someone, rewarded. Every time I prayed for my enemies for real, rewarded. Every time I did not seek my own will in my own way, rewarded. Every time I obeyed the written word of God, rewarded. All the times I said no to my flesh, and yes to my spirit, rewarded. You have an appointed time. You won't be late for this appointment. You won't be 5 minutes late, half hour late. This, you'll be exactly on time. You have an appointment with God. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10. That word appear at this Bema Seat judgment where we receive rewards or loss of rewards for what we've done for Christ. That word appear means turned inside out. Everything laid bare. Every motive laid bare. You're going to stand before your Lord at your appointment. And by the way, whether you believe this is going to happen or not is irrelevant. God has told us this, and God is what? Credible. He is credible. What he said in the past has come to fruition. This will happen no matter what. Things done for Christ. Gold, silver, or precious stones. Things that burn up, wood, hay, or stubble, are meaningless. Don't overlook verse 11. Every human will bow to Christ. Believers willfully, unbelievers forced. I hopefully right now, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you submit to him. I bow before you, my Lord. You are my King. You are my Savior. You are my God. I follow you. But those who don't will be forced to bow. As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. Philippians 2:11 says this, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everything in creation, in God's higher creation, every angel, every fallen angel, every believer, every unbeliever will declare one day that Jesus Christ is Kurios, Lord, Master, Ruler, Owner, King. That's what will happen. The unbeliever's fate is quite different. They'll be judged for their sins and found guilty. Guilty, condemned. This will happen at a different judgment, the Great White Throne Judgment in Revelation 20, 11 through 15. Well, what happens there? Well, the books are opened. Everything will be written in the books, good, bad, and the ugly. Good, bad, and ugly of your life, exposed. And then God will open the book of life. And your name will not be found written in the book of life at that judgment. And you'll be cast in the lake of fire for eternal torment, separated from God forever. And again, it does not matter if you believe this will happen. God said it. God is credible. This will happen. As sad as that is, torment forever. So then, verse 12, each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Whether you're the weak believer, strong believer, non-believer, every believer, unbeliever, all humanity is responsible to their Creator. There is a Creator. He is real, and we are responsible to him. Oh, verse 13, careful with inappropriate judging. Don't cause another to stumble. This is just a brief introduction into this. We'll get into this much more next time, but I just wanted to finish with verse 13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Weaker brothers, stronger brothers. Look, if you are the weaker brother and you are the stronger brother, I'll give you the example that's usually given in Christendom. You have license to be able to drink. But you know your friend has a problem with alcohol. Because you have an issue, you don't have the issue, you are to be concerned about their issue, not being a facilitator of them stumbling, and actually to encourage them in their sobriety. That's what we are to do. Just because we're free to do it doesn't mean we should do it. So you search your heart and ask God what to do. So the warning is this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Careful with inappropriate, my way or the highway, judging for condemnation in the gray areas. God is the judge. He alone knows. I don't know. He knows. Closing thoughts, careful with inappropriate judging. Now you've been through all the areas. Now what you hear from the world is this. It often says, you should never judge, because of that Matthew 7:1, judge not lest ye be judged. All judging is wrong. Is this correct? And hopefully as Bible students, you can answer the question in resounding, no, 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 it is not correct. Scripture is clear. We are to make judgments based on my feelings. Oh, that's very good students, yes. No, it's not my, it's based upon what God says. It's irrelevant what it's God, what he says in his word. We have to make right judgments. If something is not in line with God's word, we are expected to make a judgment and respond. Now, I've got a list here of things. You could have done your own talk and made your list. But these things are found in God's word that are a problem in our culture today. We can judge that sleeping around is wrong. It's wrong. We can judge that abortion is wrong. We can judge that homosexuality is wrong. We can judge that gossip, and then I have this list for all of us Christians, gossip, gluttony, ever that ever hits you? I don't think it ever misses me. Just depends. I'm going to glutton today. I mean, gluttony, vanity, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, folly, coveting. It's all in there. We're all guilty. The hypocritical life. How many of you have not been a hypocrite, said one thing and done another? You get the idea. These are not gray areas. And we are to speak the truth to the culture around us. Speak the truth to yourself. I don't want to compromise in these areas. God told me. He spoke to my heart. He showed me in His Word. This is wrong. And remember this. The world wants to influence you. And the world is quick to speak. Quick to speak. Always be careful when someone's quick to speak. Quick to speak. There's a proverb in 18:17. The first to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. The quick to speakers, they're putting this information, quick to speak at you, quick to try to get your mind focused on what they want. Take a pause. Examine what they're saying in line with the Word of God. Oz Guinness said this, one word of truth dispels a world of lies. Speak the truth. Matthew 7:1, judge not lest ye be judged, is said in a context of hypocritical judging. Judging to condemn when you have your own issue. Now, this you've seen this slide before. This is the judger. You've got a problem here. This is hypocritical judging. And I can't barely find the little dot in your eye, and I haven't done away with the log in my own eye. Now, this is us. This is us. We make these judgments on other people. Be careful. That's all he's saying. But notice that you have to make a judgment to see the speck in the eye. Make sure you don't have the plank. And you're not judging for condemnation. You're judging to help them change direction. Big difference. Big difference. Believers are to judge, but judge righteously according to Scripture, not according to self. I want to leave you with three verses. Three verses. Proverbs 31:9 says this, open your mouth and judge righteously. You know the context for this? It's the verses before that says this. Now think about abortion here. Think about a baby being crushed in an abortion. Think about this. Speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Open your mouth and judge righteously. Let me take a pause here. There are many women that have had abortions and grieve over that decision. I want you to realize that God forgives that like He forgives every other sin. And He casts that guilt from you as far as the east is from the west. You don't have to live with that guilt. It's under the blood, and it is done away with in God's eyes. You've been washed clean, so don't live with that awful guilt. 1 Corinthians 2:15, a spiritual person judges all things, righteous judgment. But there's a warning, John 7:24, do not judge according to appearance. Oh, you long-haired hippie. That was my era. Don't judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. In gray areas, who's the judge? God is the judge. In non-gray areas, who is the judge? God is the judge. While we are here, careful how you judge. You're here for this short time. You're going to be leaving soon. You don't know that, but you're leaving soon. You're either going to go in a corporate rapture or you're going to go in a private rapture, but you're leaving here. This isn't all there is. This is just the beginning. So by all means, make righteous judgments. By all means, have a little grace. Grace goes a long way. Be a grace giver. I want to give you a short little story here. Listen to this. A lady in an airport bought a book to read and a package of cookies to eat while she waited for her plane. So they're in the staging area, and she's put her cookies right here, and she's reading her book, and there's a guy next to her. That'll come up. So after she had taken her seat in the terminal and gotten engrossed in her book, she noticed that the man one seat away from her was fumbling to open the package of cookies on the seat between them. She was so shocked that the stranger would eat her cookies that she didn't really know what to do. So she just reached over and took one of the cookies and ate it. The man didn't say anything, but soon reached over and took another cookie. Well, the woman wasn't going to let him eat them all, so she took another one too. When they were down to one cookie, the man reached over, broke the cookie in half, and got up and left. The lady couldn't believe the man's nerve, but soon the announcement came to board the plane. Once the woman was aboard, still angry at the audacity of this man, puzzling over the incident, she reached into a purse for a tissue. It suddenly dawned on her that she really shouldn't judge people too harshly, for there in her purse lay her still unopened package of cookies. Careful how you judge, folks. Careful how you judge. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are the judge. You know what's right. And help us to be very careful in the gray areas, but very strong in the non-gray areas. May we hear your voice speak to us. This is the way, walk in it. May we be obedient to the Spirit of God speaking to our souls, our spirits, our inner being, and do what you're telling us to do. Even the uncomfortable things, and most things I have to admit, is stretching. You're stretching us, Lord, into the uncomfortable. That's where you take your people, and that's where people grow. You know we don't grow on Cupcake Mountain. We don't grow in the comforts of this world and doing things our way. We grow when we submit ourselves to you and do what you're calling us to do. Again, thank you for this time together. May the Word of God penetrate the soul of each person here. In Jesus' name, amen.